You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
God, I thank you for your spirit in this place. I thank you for all that you're doing, Lord, in our hearts. I thank you that as we look at your word today, that you would show us solution, that you would show us practical things. You would show us spiritual principles. You would show us things that would transform our very lives, God. We thank you for your word that lights our path, God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I just, as we look around, we see so much injustice in the world. We can turn on the news. We can look at the feeds on the internet. And we keep on finding things that are out of place. We keep on finding things that are an issue in our country and an issue in our world. So the question is, what do we do about that? What do we do about the injustice that we see in the world? I want to encourage you today because the Bible has the solution to these problems. The Bible has the solution to injustice. And I want to give you great news today because God is well able to put more good on you than the world can put injustice on you. Can I say it again? God is able to vastly outweigh with his goodness any injustice that the world would try to put upon you. And it's in that spirit that I want to talk about this brand new series, Justice in an Unjust World. Justice in an Unjust World. Because God has a solution for our world. We're not living in a world that does not have a solution. We have a solution, and it's right here in the Word of God. So I want to encourage you, and we're going to be looking at the story of Joseph. Genesis 37 introduces this phenomenal character, Joseph. And you can follow along with it. I know our screen is down today, but Genesis 37, all the way to the end of Genesis, Genesis 50, is this climatic story of Joseph. And we see injustice, and we see all these things happen and occur, and we see what God brings about in the end. But before we get into that, I'm so excited. I'm overflowing. I know I see some of our people that are home, and glad to see you guys. George, love everybody that's back. I know some of our people are still out on vacation. But this is what God showed me this week. First, I received a prophetic word, but then I got a vision. And in this vision, I saw worship. And I know we always have powerful worship at Hope. But I just saw this next level worship. And people were singing. And people were dancing. And people were praising. And the Spirit of God was so heavy. And I saw people just dancing and singing. And those same people I saw on Monday morning get up and were the CEOs and the business leaders and the community leaders and the leaders in every arena, in technology, in education. And God spoke to me really clearly. He said, I've made this a house of Joseph's. I've made this a house of Joseph, and I've made you and Corinne pastors to Joseph's. And so I hope that you can grab hold of that word. It was so profound to me as I saw it. And for those that don't know the story of Joseph or are a little bit rusty on the story, we're gonna talk about that. So if you can, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. And I'm going to take a step back because before we get into Joseph's story, let me just tell you about his mom. Because his mom was barren. His mom was without child, and she had been hoping for a child, praying for a child, doing everything she knew how to do to get a child. And thank God at Hope, we've had some tremendous miracles happen, where we've had some people that were barren, and we prayed, and the word of the Lord came forward, and they were able to conceive. But this woman right here, Rachel, she did not have any kids. And in verse 22 in chapter 30 says, "Then God remembered Rachel's plight and answered her prayers by enabling her to have children. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. God has removed my disgrace," she said, and she named him Joseph. "For," she said, "may the Lord add yet another son to my family." So we see that Joseph's mom says, "God has removed my disgrace. Let the Lord add yet another." Now, sometimes we are introduced into an environment. We are introduced into a world where it seems like what we're doing is not enough. This is interesting because in the same moment that Rachel is saying, "Thank you, God," she's also saying, "But give me some more." Has anybody ever been in a situation where you felt like that you weren't enough? People were saying that, or you felt that you weren't enough, that you just, you fell short of the bar? Or from the very beginning, Rachel in the same breath is saying, "Thank you, God, you've removed my disgrace. But also, by the way, could you give me more? Because this isn't enough." But it's amazing how God can turn something around. But before I say that, let me say, we have to learn to stop and celebrate. We got to celebrate what God is doing right now. That's great. I love looking to the future. I'm that type of person that I love saying, this is what God is going to do. This is what I'd like to see God do. This is what God has promised. This is what God has prophesied. But you know what? When God gives you a victory, celebrate that victory. Learn how to celebrate the victory, because we have to know how to celebrate what God is doing right now. But see here, Rachel, Joseph's mom, Joseph was not enough. But God knows how to turn bad things around in your life. So Joseph's mother was not satisfied with just Joseph. In the natural, it looked like Joseph was not enough. But God takes this statement that Joseph's mom made, and he turns it around into a powerful purpose. A powerful purpose statement. And I want you to grab hold of this. And I want you to say this about yourself. This is what Joseph's name means. May Jehovah give increase. Just write it down. Put it on your refrigerator. Make that your new thing. As you're believing, as you're praying throughout the week, may God give increase. This is the story. This is who Joseph is. God wants to add to you. God wants to increase you. God wants to bless you. How many receive that today? That God wants to bless you. God wants to increase you. Let's continue to read the story. So here's where we start. Joseph is 17 years old. You got it? Genesis 37. So Jacob settled in the land of Canaan. Jacob is Joseph's father. He settles in the land of Canaan where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob's family, Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, just a little background, Joseph is the 11th son of Jacob. He's the 11th son. So this, you're at the bottom of the totem pole here. So when Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flock. He worked for his half-brothers. Somebody say half-brothers. The sons of his father's wife, Bilhah and Zilpah. Now we've had some mothers on Mother's Day that they stood up and they said, "I had X amount of children." I think one time that the mom had 13 children. Well, see, Jacob had like a couple different wives that comprise these 12 sons. But I have a lot of honor for women that are able to like have like that many multiples. Anyway, so I'm sorry how we got sidetracked here. So Joseph works for his half-brothers and the sons of his father's wife, Bilhah and Zilpah. And Joseph reports to his father some bad things that his brothers were doing. Now, first let me say this. We have to learn how to seek wisdom. Joseph was 17. He was not using wisdom with what he was doing. When you are in a new field, when you're in a new season, or when you're young, it's important to seek out wisdom. Maybe you're entering a new place in your career field. Seek out wisdom. When you don't seek out wisdom, you can get yourself into trouble. Joseph had a calling and a destiny, but he didn't use wisdom. And it cost him some hardships that he might not have had to go through. Right? If you have a calling, you can have a calling and a gift. Listen, you can have a calling and a gift, but without wisdom, it will cost you. But here's the good news. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. If you need wisdom, seek God out. Seek people that have the wisdom of God out. You can always use more wisdom. We should always be asking, God, what is your wisdom on this matter? Before we move forward. And we talked about half-brothers. Joseph had 10 half-brothers. And later on, he had a full brother, Benjamin, that was his younger brother. But right now, he's the youngest, and he has 10 older half-brothers. I want to give you this principle. There's a difference between a covenant brother and a half-brother. There's a difference between a covenant brother and a half-brother. And that can go either way. That's not a gender-specific thing. A covenant sister or a half-sister. Because we have to surround ourselves with people that know who you are and that are committed to what God is doing in your life. If you want to succeed, you have to know who's for you and who is against you. That doesn't mean you can't minister, you can't love people that are half brothers, but you have to know clearly who they are. You have to know who you're in covenant with. You have to know who your spiritual family is. There's a difference between who God has joined you to and a half-brother. Why? Because God doesn't do anything halfway. God always fully commits. And he expects us to fully commit. Revelation 3:16 says, but you are like lukewarm water, so I will what? Spit you out. God's not interested in lukewarm. He's interested in fully committed. He wants to join people to you that will partner with you in your purpose and say, I am fully committed to you. I'm fully committed to what God is doing in you. I want you to commit with me to see the purposes of God come to pass in my life. And that's what God is doing. Now, let's continue here this story. Genesis 37:3. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of the other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph. Right? It's a robe, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They could not say a kind word to him. The brothers hated him. Now listen, Jacob thought that it was just extra love. But can I tell you, it was the favor of God. Jacob, he looks at this infant son and something is different than the other 10 sons. It was the favor of God. It was the purpose of God upon his life. That is what was attracting Jacob to Joseph. Out of all 12 sons, there was something different with the purpose that Jacob had. It was his purpose. Purpose is attractive. Can you write this down? Purpose attracts God's favor. When you walk in your purpose, when you move in your purpose, when you begin to step up into your purpose, God's favor will follow. God's favor will be attracted to you. The favor of Joseph's natural father was attracted to him because he was a man of purpose. So he gives him this beautiful robe. He has the favor, so he receives the robe. He has the favor, so he receives the robe. Let me tell you, the robe is significant of authority and position. See, Jacob didn't even realize what he was doing, but it was a gesture of giving authority and position to Joseph. He didn't even realize what he was doing, but he was signifying that the leadership mantle was being put on Joseph. God was acknowledging Joseph through his natural father, Jacob. But here's the tricky part. Turn to somebody and say, here's the tricky part. The robe comes with haters. When you get authority, not everybody's going to like it. When you receive the position that everybody else wanted, not everybody's going to like it. When he got the robe, the brothers didn't like it. It said they hated him even more. When you receive the authority and position, you will receive opposition. When you receive authority, you will have critics. How many know that whenever you start doing something good, somebody's got a criticism about what you should have done better? Get ready, because if you've been called to great things, you will receive great opposition. So Joseph's half-brothers did not like that he received the robe of authority. In the same way, people around you are not always going to like when God promotes you because of your purpose. Get ready for this. Get ready for this. And you have to be careful who you share your dreams with. You got to be careful. Genesis 37:5 says, one night Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more, or more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low for mine. And his brothers responded, so do you think you'll be our king? Do you actually think you'll reign over us? And they hated him all the more because his dream and the way he talked about them. Now, it would probably be best to just keep that dream to yourself. Don't share that with your half-brothers that are all older than you and are around when your dad isn't around. Principle, God has given you something precious. Be careful who you share it with. Be careful who you share the dreams that God has given you. Be careful who you share your heart with. Not everyone is ready to receive what God is doing with you. Doesn't make them bad people. Just means they may not be ready to hear the truth. So the brothers hate on Joseph a little more after hearing the dream. This is the incredible part of the story. Just follow me here. Genesis 37:9. Soon Joseph has another dream. You're not going to believe this. And again, he tells his brothers about it. Listen, I have another dream, he said. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars. He's like, come on. I'm not a dream interpreter, but I can just tell you right now. The 11 stars, you're talking about us, right? We're bowing down to you again. This time, he told the dream to his father, as well as his brothers, and his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that, he asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? Listen, people of God, we have to learn discretion. If we want to operate on the levels of authority that God wants to take us to, we absolutely must learn discretion. Joseph does not have discretion. Joseph, after telling the first dream to his half-brothers, and they hate him even more, he goes back and tells a second dream so they can hate him some more. We've got to be smarter than to make the same mistakes over and over again. Can I tell you, future leaders? Can I tell you, current leaders? Can I tell you, Christian leaders? We can't make the same mistakes over and over again. That's just foolishness. But some Christians are like that. They're stuck in a rut because they keep doing the same things. They keep on making the same bad decisions over and over again. God has grace for us, but we're oftentimes putting ourselves through hardships we don't have to go through, because we're not using discretion. You know, the Bible says, when Mary received the word of the Lord that she would give birth to Jesus, it says she pondered it in her heart. She thought about it. She didn't go through the neighborhood talking about it. She didn't go to her friends and her family and say, hey, guess what I just found out? But she pondered it in her heart and she said, this is the dream that God has given me. Now, God, what do I do with it? What is the next step? Because the same God that gave the dream will give a strategy. The same God, she took that dream, she took that purpose, she prayed on it, she meditated, she asked God, what's the next step? Can I tell you this? Don't take a spiritual purpose and try to accomplish it with a natural strategy. Don't take a spiritual purpose and try to accomplish it with a natural strategy. We cannot take divine purpose and dilute it with a natural strategy. This is where we fail. This is where we falter as Christian leaders. When we take the precious dream, the precious purpose, the precious plan that God has given us for our life, and we try to do it in our own ability. We try to do it with our own thought process. Because let me tell you something. The Bible says that God's ways are not our ways. We have to tap into His strategy, because His strategy is oftentimes, most of the time, 99.9% of the time, is beyond the strategy that we could think of in our mind. The purpose was beyond us, and the strategy is also beyond us. God has great plans for your life. Can you say it with me? God has great plans for my life. The same God that gave you a dream will give you a strategy. But if we can stay in the face of God long enough, we'll know everything we need to know to succeed. And even more importantly, we're forever changed when we're in His presence. Forever changed when we're in His presence. Would you bow your heads with me today? God, I just thank You. I thank You, Father, because You've placed something so special in our hearts. You've placed something so special within us, a gift, a purpose, a dream. But God, thank You that we would spend the time as Mary, pondering it in our hearts. God, that we could understand how You want to accomplish. Father, thank You, Lord. We know we're going to have to go through some stuff, some trials, some tribulations, maybe some injustices to get to the place of purpose. But God, thank You that we can follow Your plan and not go through the hardships that we don't need to go through. Lord, I thank You, Father, for giving us the wisdom to protect the purpose, to have discretion as we share the things that are so precious in our heart. God, I thank you, Lord, that the same thing that you've spoken to us way back when is still true today. The same purpose that you birthed us for is still true today. The dreams that you've placed in our heart, they've not been outdated. They've not passed away. You haven't given up on them. But God, you're actually waiting on us. You're creating us. You are making us ready for our season. So I thank you, Lord, that you just bless us, Father, with the wisdom to wait upon your strategy. And I thank you, God, for those that are here today. And maybe you're at a place where you've gotten a little disconnected from Jesus. Maybe you've drifted away in your relationship with him and you just need to reconnect with him. The most important decision that you can make today is reconnecting with Jesus. Taking that next step with him. If that's you today, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. It's so powerful to say, yep, I see that hand. I see that. Connect with Jesus. I see that. Wherever you are, if you're not where you need to be with Jesus, pray this prayer with us. If you raise your hand, if you didn't raise your hand, you can say this in agreement with us. Jesus, I want your purpose for my life. I know that even in injustice, you can bring justice. You can bring purpose. I grab hold of you today. Thank you for what you did on the cross. How you died for my sins. How you completely wiped them out. How you reconnected me with the Father. I connect with you today. I put my faith in you today. I receive the free gift you give me today. Teach me how to walk in you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, let's give God the praise.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.